Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or JeffWeilerColumbusAutoMall.com.
Hey, if you've suffered an injury in an accident and would like a free case review, make sure you call the super team at Daspit Law Firm. Free consultations are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 713-CALL-NOW. That's 713-CALL-NOW. Or you can go to the website, DaspitLaw.com.
Veritex Community Bank Studios. It's John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. John and Lance, we got 1 hour left, so let's go. Does anybody have a call?
Yeah. No. Today's call free.
All right.
You want to take some calls? Let's take six calls this hour.
Six. You want to take six calls.
I want to shoot for six calls. I want to see if we can get six calls in. And Please. You have to do that within a 42-minute span, 44 minutes. So 713, you can't score if you don't shoot. 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776.
I mean, do people care about this Fred thing? I'd like to hear from people.
Yeah, you've got to have an opinion.
Listen, the clock is ticking. The Rockets have to make a decision on Fred VanVleet. Do you want him here?
Opinion changed based on two playoff games? Game 5 and two. Game 6?
No. Well, he was good in Game 7, too.
Yeah, he was fine. Fred wasn't great in Game 7.
He was pretty good in the whole – I mean –
He had no impact on that game.
But we like clutch, though. We like clutch.
But you're paying, that's fine. Is everything – did you have a different opinion before game 5 and 6? That's kind of scary to change your opinion based on the outcome of two games.
Well, I do know
when
this.
When we know he's a streaky shooter. There's no doubt, right? We talked about that all year. You know he's a streaky shooter.
Yeah.
So a good streak and – You're on board with
it? Well, doesn't a guy who's clutch in the postseason, doesn't that change your attitude?
I mean, not necessarily. I'm taking the whole thing into account. Fine. I mean, a 1 year deal is not
part of it's part of your decision making. If it's not, then that's dumb.
Okay, then you that's have to, fine. But you have can't to have
include,
him. Steven,
hey, this dude's clutch.
You can't have Steven Adams too. Then, so you can't have them both. Make your pick.
You can't have him. I think they can.
No, you can't.
You could if you wanted to.
Yeah, you can.
You could cut everyone.
You're just assuming if you got Fred, you can't have Steven Adams.
Wait, how are you going to pay Steven Adams?
Well, because you have his bird rights.
They figure this stuff out all the time.
It's not just about figuring
it
out.
Wait, no. You can't just say they figured it out.
They have his bird rights.
Give me an example of how they do it. They have his bird rights.
So that means
he's
got
to want to stay there.
That means if they paid him what he wanted, they can go over the cap. The question is, do they want to go past the first apron for Steven Adams? That's when you start to get into
Tillman paying extra money.
Yes. So you could, theoretically. The question is, do they want to?
Because Jalen's contract goes up. Alpi's contract goes up.
And they got to
consider
extensions for Jabari and Tari as well. Those are considerations as well.
Yeah, I don't think
I'm not going to assume that. I'm not in their financial meetings.
Don't have to be, John. You can go to
this
any
out all the time.
John, you can go to over the cap if you want, or Spot Track, and just go look at the contract amounts. We're not having some kind of nebulous. This is a very specific conversation based on numbers we can look at. Jalen's getting ready to go up 20 million.
Lance, definitively, they can't have Fred and Steven.
I don't know how they're going to do
it. The mechanics, from what I can tell at the moment, there's nothing that says they can't have everybody back. The question is,
you have to pay
how much are they
going? Tax.
Are they willing to pay to do it?
And up to this point, he hasn't done it.
We see this around basketball. Got financial decisions are made, and it pisses off fans because, you're going cheap when we think we can win. Steven Adams can come back. If they want to pay him $14 million a year for 3 years or whatever the hell he's going to ask for, that's the question. 14, 14 per, by the way.
I don't think he's going to take a 1-year deal.
Well, that might be a reason he's not back.
Yeah, that's why you just said 3-year deal, because it may be the last deal of his contract. And let me tell you, you know, A, he's not as old as I thought he was. He's actually younger than I thought he was. And the second thing is, Steven Adams has he appears to have a lot more left in the tank. I mean, he can still leap. I mean, he was way better than I expected.
He was great.
By the end of the year, he was way better. I would love to have him back. I just think it's going to be really challenging when two contracts are set to double, more than double, and that's Alpi and Shingun. They're about to go way up. And if I want a 3-year deal if I'm Steven Adams. You probably get two.
I really, really love that the fan base got it and acknowledged him and were excited about. And maybe that could play into, I don't know. I think people have been excited about him wherever he goes. He's a great interview, too, by the way. Great interview.
Good teammate. He fits the Rockets' profile, everything about him.
Everything.
Fits. I'd love to have him back.
That's one guy that Ime may go, you know what? We need to, Alpi needs him. Alpi does need him. And they were a lot better basketball team when the two of them were on the floor together. The double bigs was tremendous. It was actually, the stats were phenomenal when Steven Adams was on the court. And we saw it with our human eyes. I mean, him being able, that zone defense where he came over and his help defense was phenomenal. Phenomenal. And it kept them in games. So, yeah, I don't know. We'll figure it out if he wants to be here and if they want to pay the money and what they have to give up.
A hometown discount.
Well, I don't know about hometown discount, but they might have to sacrifice other players for it.
Like Fred?
Well, maybe Fred.
Do you
I
know if
that,
you
though.
Sacrifice Fred,
I don't
your
think
money
he
is
sacrificing Fred. For
I don't think
anybody.
You sacrificed Fred either. But if you did, look, it's easier to. I think it's easier to find a shot blocker and rim runner, but that's not really what Steven Adams is. Steven Adams is personality. He's physicality. He's brutality. He is a rebounder. He is a shot blocker. Steven Adams is more than just a rim runner who catches the ball and dunks. That's actually not even what he is. He's a mindset and a physicality, and it comes with certain statistical advantages too, which happens to be his offensive rebounding and shot blocking, because Alpi's not a shot blocker. Steven Adams can block shots. So even though you could find somebody to fill in that role, I think there's something unique about Steven Adams for Ime. But the concern I have, and it's not right now, is that Ime, like all defensive coaches, they love veterans. They love the known, not the unknown. They love the known, and they love dogs, and they love old-ass Jeff Greens. And I worry, because I saw this happen with Van Gundy, where the Rockets got old fast because they're more than willing to. Now, they're a young team right now, but I could see them losing some young guys just because the attrition that you can't keep everybody. And Ime's going to stick with older players. Steven Adams, I don't know if we're calling Fred VanVleet. Oh, he's older than the other guys, but he's certainly not an old player. He's still under 30. But I do always get nervous about defensive-minded coaches getting super old when the youth is their strength right now.
Yeah.
And it's one of their weaknesses, too.
Right. The Rockets, I'm not worried about them getting old since they're one of the youngest teams in the league.
They are now. You trade for Kevin Durant, let me know. We've been talking about this Kevin Durant trade. All of a sudden, you're no longer one of the youngest teams because you're going to subtract two young guys, and you're going to add a 37-year-old. You just got older real fast because you will subtract a 23 and a 21-year-old, 22-year-old. So for a 36, you're not as young.
And Fred's 31.
Oh, Fred is actually older than I thought. So then you'd have a 36-year-old, 37-year-old, a 31-year-old.
Dylan will be 30.
Dylan will be 30. You're not young anymore. Three starters in their 30s is not young. As a matter of fact, it's older by NBA standards. So it can change real quick if you trade for an old guy. And that's my concern, is that Ime is going to want to go with older players because he knows what he's getting from them.
Well, in that Tim McMahon article, Ime might comfort you with what he was saying.
He was saying
it would be a disservice to trade away some of these younger players because the vision is a long-term one. Now, after going through a playoff series. Maybe that changes people's minds there. But it was him more than Fortito, it was Patrick who was being quoted, that was talking about how much they wanted this to be internal. And sure, Patrick echoed some of that, but he also offered the butt of, well, but we'll always keep our eyes open for a potential move. Ime was more in the line of, hey, we got something here. I think we'd be taken away from some of what we're building if we try to make a move.
But this
that
article
way.
Is written before the playoffs.
It was written for the series, or maybe right in the middle of it. But certainly, I'm sure they got the quotes before.
If you're a coach, you can't say anything other than that.
That was before. That was before Fred dominated the series,
and before Jalen. Well, he was in the middle of crapping out. I think that Jalen hate's gone too far. That was Hater Report that created that graphic. So I saw the graphic where they compared Jalen Green in the draft to Darko.
Back to the 2003.
In the 2003 draft. Yeah. Jalen Green's way better than that. We're acting like Jalen's a scrub. He's not a scrub.
Because the other guys around him all have had some accomplishment, whether it be All-Star, All-NBA, something like that, and Dark in that draft so far. And they've been paid for it as well.
It's true, but he's not Darko.
No, Darko didn't play.
Jalen Suggs. Terrible.
Jalen Suggs hasn't. I think Jalen Suggs got a deal, but he hasn't accomplished All NBA or anything like that, or All Star. Yeah.
No,
but the rest of the guys around Jalen were pretty good in the draft.
Cade, Evan Mobley, and also Scotty Barnes.
I think NBA people will tell you, yeah, Jalen's good too. Jalen's pretty good too. Yeah. I think we're really have our feelings hurt because of how he played. Because you don't usually play like this. You know, that's why the comparison to James. I'm like, man, James finished in the top three MVP votes 5 times. I don't see Jalen finishing in the top 5 one time his entire career. Not one time would I think that he's in the top 5. May not be in the top 10 or top 8, I guess, for his career. I just don't see it happening.
Top 8 what?
MVP voting.
Oh.
James was 1, 2, or 3 5 times with the Rockets. There's no way Jalen Green is ever in the top 5 MVP voting. Never. Mm. Not one time for his career.
I don't know.
Alperin will be. Jalen won't be.
He's got the talent to be a great player.
He's explosive. He's not a good enough shooter.
Well, that's what. No, but shooting you can work on. Shooting,
yeah, you can.
You can become a better shooter.
You can become a better shooter. He hasn't really. He's still 42% from the field his whole career, all 4 years.
Let that hate flow through you, Lance.
Well, yeah. I'm just saying, he did shoot 35% from three, which
is
better.
So is Fred VanVleet, and Fred VanVleet's making $44 million a year.
Not top five MVP. I think that was the point, not how much money he would make over his career.
He's never going to make top five.
He's got what James don't. He's got a ring.
You got somebody who will shoot you in the face with a shotgun if Jalen Green doesn't make the top five. And if you say he won't do it, they'll put the shotgun down. What are you doing? But they'll give you a yacht. If he does get in the top
five. $900 million.
And the $900 million yacht. If he makes it in the top five, you just got shot in the face. Congratulations. Mm-hmm. You're dead. Wendy's got to come identify the body. Close casket.
Jalen is a Pippin.
What is that?
Somebody says Jalen is a Pippin.
A Pippin? What?
He's not even a Pippin. Well, that's not true.
From Great Expectations? What Pippin are you talking
about? Scotty Pippin.
Scotty Pippin's son.
What Pippin are you talking about?
He said it's not the right Pippin. He said it's Great Expectations Pippin.
He's Pippin.
No, this is... He's Scottie's son.
A little English kid?
No, there is a Scottie Pippen Jr. We know of him.
Right.
He doesn't look like Scottie Pippen.
Well,
he ain't Scottie Pippen, by the way, whoever that is.
No, he's not Scottie Pippen.
No, he's not Scottie Pippen. Just an FYI.
He's not Scottie Pippen.
Who's the Jordan?
We don't have one.
Jalen's the Scottie Pippen.
Giannis?
Okay.
Alpie?
Sure.
Alpie's not the Jordan.
Alpie.
He didn't give off Jordan vibes. Every year he goes low. His field goal percentage goes lower and lower and lower every year he's in the league.
That's not.
It doesn't feel very Jordan-y.
That's more.
We'll
just throw Jordan on anybody.
Yeah, apparently.
Who's the Jordan of the Utah Jazz?
Cooper Flagg.
Yeah.
He will be. Hey, listen,
I just hope we get Cooper Flagg. I hope we get the first pick.
Oh, that's what you want? That's what you hope for?
Is the closest thing since Kobe.
Yeah,
to Michael
Jordan. I agree. I hope the Rockets get the – I hope Denver – I mean, I hope the Suns end up giving us Cooper Flagg.
Mm-hmm.
And then we can have a whole new conversation like, I guess we're getting really young now because you ain't moving Cooper Flagg.
No.
I mean, but what you could do is fine-tune your roster and start picking and choosing the young guys you want to trade to really get a very specific – like, then you would turn to Devin Booker. If you got a Cooper Flagg, you'd say, okay, we're turning to Devin Booker. and we'll figure it out. We'll go get a two guard that can really, a veteran two guard that can go.
All right, let's go to John Daspit right now.
Let's go to John Daspit. John Daspit is the lawyer who fights for the injured, and he has to fight against insurance companies all the time, because insurance companies, what they're looking to do is really get a good deal with you. I mean, they're looking to, it's business to them. It's not like, okay, this is what you have coming to you. It's these injuries, we'll cover these bills, and we'll cover your time missed from work, which some of them won't do that. And then your pain and suffering payment is going to be way, way low, because they are trying to save money for themselves. It raises their profit. They're a for-profit business. And so it's in their best interest to try to squeeze you. John Daspit says, nope, we're not doing that. My client is going to get all of their hospital stuff taken care of, all their physical therapy taken care of, all their pain and suffering is going to be accounted for and given a fair compensation, and any time missed from work is going to be covered. And he will fight for you and fight for you and fight for you. And sometimes it takes a while to get to the settlement because the insurance companies try to play hardball. But at the end of the day, John Daspit plays the hardest ball of all. And if you go to court with him, you're going to lose. They know that. So eventually they give in and John wins. And that's how it goes. John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm, fighting for you, passionately pursuing justice for the injured. 713, call now or go to DaspitLaw.com.
You are listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
Well, Bobby Marks is with you, Lance. ESPN's Bobby Marks believes the Rockets should cautiously approach a Durant trade. Do you need to go out and get a superstar? I would be cautious about that. I think if you're going to go out and get a Kevin Durant, it's a watered-down package. Would you give them their ninth pick back and their unprotected pick in 27 and then Jalen Green and, you know, fillers? I would. I wouldn't touch Jabari Smith, and I wouldn't touch certainly Amen Thompson, and I'm not touching Shangoon. You know, you basically have to kind of draw a line in the sand as to what's available and what's not available. Duh. You're not giving up your prime pieces for a Kevin Durant.
No, you cannot.
Giannis now? Because we've stopped talking. I guess we've stopped talking about
Giannis. Well, Giannis is way different to me. Like, and there's some people who are really – I know our guy Five Star is very anti-trading any Rockets. He's saying run it back. And I understand that. And part of me would be just fine with that. I mean, obviously, when you run it back, there's maybe some changes. Like we've seen with the Astros. Like, maybe Steven Adams isn't here. Well, the Astros kept running it back, and they would lose Charlie Morton. They would lose Garrett Cole. They would lose – you know, that's going to happen. But your core stays the same. Giannis is different to me. Giannis is a completely different. Giannis is in that stratosphere. He's in at least the same zip code as Jokic when it comes to being able to have an elite impact in multiple categories in a game. So to me, that is a hard conversation because you may have to. I feel like, you know, so much of Jabari Smith feels just like Robert Horry. He's a good teammate, does this. But he also feels like, almost feels certain that Jabari Smith will be traded within the next 2 years. He's a piece that other teams will want. He plays defense. He's not a pain in the ass. He hustles. He's about, you know, getting better. He's got a shot from the perimeter. He can shoot the ball. Like, and I was disappointed that Jabari didn't play more in Game 7. I wanted him to play more. Yeah. I don't understand why he didn't play more.
I guess I'd have to ask, what does run it back mean? Because you can't operate in a world where financial considerations aren't part of your thought process. You mentioned Jabari. Jabari has $12 million this season, $12 million plus coming up. Then when Jabari says, hey, I want this, are you going to give Jabari this, or are you going to let him get the restricted free agency? Are you going to let him go? So I understand the dream of keeping all these guys, letting it play out. But because of all your assets, some of these guys are leaving no matter what. Unless you just want the biggest salary, biggest roster as far as salary ever, some of these guys are going to have to go. So you're going to have to make decisions some way. So run it back. You could get away with it for one more year. But do you think this roster next year, the way it's presently constituted, is winning a title?
Well, that I'm not sure that it is. But you could – I can't tell you it's not. I'm not sure it is. So, for me, that's why it's tricky because when I say running back, I mean don't make an off-season trade. That's all.
Well, that's what it means.
Well, you can add pieces here and there. Running back means not breaking up the core.
How do you? Yeah. Where are you adding pieces? How many guys are playing on this roster? First rounders don't play, where are you adding pieces?
Holiday's gone, and you add a different guy. Steven Adams goes, but you had a different big. You could have some ancillary. Now, Steven Adams is one of the 8-man rotation.
He was in your playoff rotation.
Yeah, he's in playoff rotation. But, if you can't bring that back, you're still going to have all the same guys. I think that there's a greater chance that that happens than a trade, but I still, not much.
I'm not pushing one way or the other, but I get this utopia where all the young guys are together and they play. But look, you probably have a year, maybe next year is your last year of looking out on that roster and seeing Tari and Alperin, all those guys together. I'm not saying who goes, but you're not paying all of them.
No, you're not.
No. Okay, so let's hear from Ime about. So we're the fan base has turned on Jalen. I don't think there's any question about that.
Accurate.
This playoff series really has, I don't know if it opened some eyes or whatever the case may be. He obviously still has his defenders out there, but he was bad. Is it a deal breaker what happened in the postseason, or is it an aberration? Because let's face it, 6 out of 7 games, Jalen does not play poorly 6 out of 7 games. He plays poorly 2 or 3 out of 7 games,
right?
Not 6. So is this just a byproduct of playing the Warriors all 7, or is it – let's hear from Ime about why he struggled.
You have to look at it as a sign of respect the way they went after him. Obviously, a leading scorer and – their objective was to take him out of the series. And like I've said throughout the series, it's he gets the ball out of his hands and gets us the numbers and the advantage. He's done his job there. And you have to try to take advantage of opportunities in transition when we get stops and get out and run and kind of be more efficient as far as that. But, when teams want to blitz you, like I said, I always say we should welcome that and kind of pick that apart. We've seen it quite a bit this year with him. And so he's improved in that area. But, he didn't get a ton of shots, honestly, throughout the series. Or when they did guard him regularly, he obviously had a big night, and then they went right back to what they were doing. And so, it's going to sting for him as well, not having his best performance in the series. But at the same time, like I said, you got to take advantage of those numbers. And he did his job to get off the ball, and everybody could have played better tonight, obviously.
You know what I like about – I want to say this because I thought about this. I don't know if you've ever thought about it, John. I was watching a post game, and Ime was asked a question after game 7. He was asked a question. The first one, it was a female reporter, her voice. She asked a question and asked a second question. And she said, what was a problem today with the shots not going down or something like that? And he could have, and as soon as she asked a question, I thought, why did this happen? What happened out there today? Something like that, general. And it's a question allowing a coach to make a broad statement. And what he could have said, if he was Greg Popovich or a cranky coach after the game, well, we didn't make shots, obviously. I mean, at the end of the day, we didn't make enough shots. Instead, he gave a real answer. He gave a very measured, the same tone, just like that, gave a very measured answer, respected her question, gave a respectful answer, gave an answer that I thought gave me as a listener or a viewer good intel, relatively speaking. I mean, it's not the hardest question to answer, but he answered the question and didn't act like an a-hole is what he did. And I don't ever remember him acting like, maybe I'm wrong, maybe he gets short with people, but I feel like he's pretty respectful about answering. And it may seem like a small thing, but I think it just shows a level of like account. He asked for others to be accountable. I don't think he's going to act a certain type of way you know, and tell you, you need to act this way. You don't need to have bad body language, Cam Whitmore, but I'm going to have bad body language and a bad attitude in a post-game press conference. It may seem like a little thing, but to me, it looks like consistency.
I don't remember him. Has he blown up at anybody?
I don't remember. I don't even remember him raising his voice ever.
No. Or being pissy with somebody. I mean, we see Nick already getting pissy, right? I don't think D'Amico gets pissy with the media. I mean, we haven't really seen him contest a question with or be disrespectful to a question. I mean, I think he kind of chuckles sometimes and goes, yeah, well, I don't know about that. But, you know, we see Nick, though. Nick is – I don't even know what that means.
Yeah, see, Nick has gotten really cranky, and he's kind of feeling himself where he's taking shots at people, and you know, kind of making you uncomfortable to where you almost get the feeling he wants to intimidate a little bit. Ime doesn't do that.
Joe Espada's – Dusty used to – love Dusty going at it with Chandler or whomever. That was fun. But, yeah, you're right. He is respectful. And he gives you answers to the question as opposed to word salad does.
Yeah, he's very secure. Nick has been a word salad guy, or now he's a cranky, like, your question's not really worth it.
Right.
Your question, why am I even have to answer this question? I don't know why he does that. He doesn't need to. He's got the respect of people in Houston. I don't know why he's so pissed off about every question now, and he gets pissed. I think it's maybe certain. It could be some of the guys asking the questions. Maybe he deals with them. He doesn't care for them.
Well, everybody, listen. The NFL is different in that everybody thinks they're smart. They know football, and so you know. I mean, you get everything questioned. And what else makes you pissy is when your offensive line really sucks, and it affects your quarterback, your franchise quarterback. So that makes you really pissy.
Well, but somebody asked him about getting a guard, and he got all pissed off.
I know.
I mean, yeah, so I know. Why are you pissed off if somebody's asking about a guard if you're pissed off with how your offensive line's playing? Number one, I mean, the fact is, he got guys that are Lakin Tomlinson's average. Ed Ingram may not make the team. Ed Ingram's not that good. Ed Ingram should be in competition for a job right now. Now you got him for a seventh rounder, I think, sixth or seventh. So what Nick has done is he picked up two players, Christian Kirk for a draft pick, and Ed Ingram. And I think they're both expiring after this year. So it looks like he's playing the compensatory pick game where he can let them walk away from contracts. But I don't know that Ed Ingram's going to get paid enough in a second contract where he's going to be a qualifier. Christian Kirk will.
Well, we haven't even talked about the acquisition of Jake Andrews.
I didn't even think about that. But I mean, I don't know if he makes the team either. But yeah. He could.
Fourth rounder in 23, was with the Patriots, and now he's here. I don't know, maybe. D'Amico was asked about it yesterday, and he said, hey, every guy who comes in here has got a shot. You play well, be a good teammate, be a leader, and get out, and you got a chance to play here.
I saw it happen with Sean Mapes here. Started as an intern, was a good teammate, was elite at what he does as a producer. Right. And now look at him, kind of like he's a co-host.
That is the formula for more than just Sean. Right.
Well, but I look at Sean as kind of the shining example.
Oh. Right. It starts with attitude.
Yeah.
I mean,
sure.
if we're playing this game.
Del could never play for D'Amico.
Never. No, because I don't.
He's not
Because I would always say swarm instead of swarm.
Del's not swarm at all.
Doesn't that say swarm up there? That's what I would do. He would hate me. I was a trailblazer. You're just laying out what I did, what Sean did.
Nah, really.
And I was an intern, the first intern, actually.
You were an intern here?
Yes, the first ever intern.
What about Raheel was an intern at 610? Raheel was the first.
But for this place, I was the first ever intern before you even really had an intern program.
I didn't even know you were an intern.
I was.
I just said, who's that punk kid?
You weren't even here. You were just floating around the hallway because you couldn't get on the air.
That's right.
That's how early I was.
Oh, I didn't even know you were here then.
I remember that. And yeah. Then I became a weekend producer. Then a weekday producer and a host.
So Dell saying he was a trailblazer
for that particular model that you're laying out.
I was the one that hired him, and
I was in the room.
I regret that.
I came in.
What'd you say, John?
I still regret that.
Yeah, you should. And I regret ever coming to that initial meeting. Look at my life. Look how it's turned out. I came in for a job, but I was inexperienced, and you hired Nooney Oaks instead. So they're like, hey, you want to be an intern? I was like, that's not what I'm here for, but sure, I'll do it. Well, back when I was bright and young and thought, you know, this is a great path, getting in on the ground floor of this radio station. What a mistake.
Well, you could still be doing AI where you're testing a robot doll or whatever you did.
I wasn't testing robot dolls. It wouldn't be a test.
Okay.
I'd wear that doll out. But at least I got to work from home doing that.
Right. Well, at least Lance could talk a little underdog right now. Who do we got tonight?
Underdog fantasy. Well, you know, so we got basketball tonight, and I'll look at my little underdog app here. The extender bonus. When you start playing in the promos right now, oh, look. That's right. It's NBA playoff boost. It's not the extenders anymore. So they got new playoff boosts, and you have to apply to do that. You hit apply, and then so now it's going to boost. So now your boost start to work for you. Game one, you play one. Want to play game one of a series? Then you get on game two. Then you get on game three, and the boosts keep going up and up every single game. Now they got quick buckets, which is another one. It has to do with points in the first quarter. They got a 20% boost on that. They've got the home run parade. They got, you know, a chance for you to 20% boost on that, where you can play baseball for your home run. But right now for basketball, don't miss out on these boosts to your playoff games when you're picking higher or lower. Donovan Mitchell, 28.5 points for Cleveland. Higher. He's going to have a huge game today as they come back and beat Indianapolis. Similarly, I'm going lower on first half Halliburton's points in the first half. Take a look here, and what do we have here? Or even first quarter, for example. They've got his first quarter, first half points. I got to take a look. Oh, first quarter points, 4.5. All right, I'm going to say lower. I think that right off the bat, Cleveland's going to take him away. So watch these games, analyze what happens, project what's going to happen the next game, and you got a chance to make money off of it. Just pick the right side, higher or lower, whenever you're picking statistics. You can pick as few as two. You can go up to like six or seven. You can win up to 1,000 times your original play. You can play just $1, or you can play many more dollars and just increase the amount of money that you can win. You can even play their flex option, which means, let's say you pick four players, you can do flex, and you can still win even if three of the picks win and one of them lose. So it's your choice every single time, but I can just tell you this. Download the app and use promo code Lance when you make your first deposit, and you can get up to $1,000 in bonus cash. So use promo code Lance on that first deposit. Play along with these games, win real money, and start taking down scores with Underdog Fantasy. You must be 18 or older and present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms and conditions apply. If you feel like you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER or go to ncpgambling.org.
You're back in the Veritex Community Bank Studios with John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, welcome back. Our final segment. I just put in a singing video. Can you guys get that ready? 52 years ago today, Secretariat won the Kentucky Derby.
Blowout.
Under 2 minutes. A record that still stands today.
That's bananas. Talk about everything. That? Like, no one has ever touched that. It's the biggest blowout you've ever seen. And now...
Well, that was the Belmont that was the biggest blowout.
Oh, that's right. It's a longer race. Yeah. But the Kentucky Derby... the Belmont, yeah. And the question came up, man, why are so many of these horses in their bloodlines, they trace up to Secretariat? Well, here's why. And there's a picture of him winning by whatever it was, 70 lengths, like the most insane blowout you've ever seen. Like, this is a pretty good reason why.
This is what I want my horse.
I want my horse
That's
coming.
That's the blood I want.
I want him coming from there.
Yeah. 20 years ago today, Kerry Wood struck out 20 Astros.
That was the most dominant. It was one of the three most dominant sporting events I've ever seen. Games.
Oh, yeah. I was on the set. I did the post-game show, and it was like, oh, my God.
I'm not going to count boxing matches or UFC fights, but as a team event.
Yeah.
As a team event, well, there's probably been basketball games where somebody's won by 50.
Nolan Ryan has been that dominant. And
Kerry Wood, that I watched.
Yeah.
Kerry Wood, they had no chance.
At the end, Derek Bell was just like, what was his nickname?
Private Punch Out. No, that wasn't him.
No, he was Operation Shutdown.
Operation Shutdown. Because Derek actually said he was going Operation Shutdown.
Yeah, I'm going Operation Shutdown now. Right.
Derek didn't. He knew he couldn't get a hit. None of the Astros could.
So, Lance, and we got to say goodbye to somebody. And here he is. This is what he does in the off season.
Okay.
But we're saying goodbye.
Okay.
To this guy today.
All right. Just is about to hit that high note. The high note's coming.
This is a beautiful song. My mom used to sing this in church at weddings.
I bet not like this tenor.
No,
although
actually,
he doesn't sound like a tenor.
Way higher.
I would think. This is the voice of Justin Tucker.
Yep. Say goodbye to Justin Tucker.
Released for football reasons.
No.
Baltimore Ravens said
he was actually not good last year.
He wasn't.
You can't be
hard to have internal conflict.
You can't be bad and
have 16 allegations against you.
An alleged rub and tug enthusiast.
You can be that enthusiast. You can't be doing the.
No. You can't.
You can't be kicked out of there. Yeah. Where they go.
If you go to a rub and tug place, you can be an enthusiast. But he didn't. He went to a regular massage place.
He went to the.
they had to kick him out.
They went from the Deshaun Watson School of Massage.
Well, he went to two regular places, and they were like, "What are you doing? You're banned." Allegedly, they banned him from two. And who's on that case? Tony Buzz. Mm-hmm. TB. Yep. And it started an entire fight online about, was Deshaun true? Why wasn't Justin Tucker treated the same way? And then other people said, Deshaun got $230 million guaranteed after.
Yeah, right.
Just like, whatever. But if the juice is worth the squeeze, if people knew how bad Deshaun was going to be, he would have gotten zero contract offers. No contract. The Texans would have had to eat that contract and be done with it, and he would have never played football again. Justin Tucker is—I don't know if the Ravens were going to make decision. Regardless, I think they might have, but boy, did it get easy when Justin Tucker. Do you think somebody signs Justin Tucker?
No,
I don't think this year.
No, no chance.
I think.
And by the way,
he
wasn't any good.
No, he wasn't. I think there's a chance in the middle of the year someone's choking. Somebody's really, really bad, there's a chance that somebody says, we'll fade it for the last, you know, street free agent, we'll fade it for the last four games and into the playoffs.
Yeah.
I think there is that chance. And we are talking about the greatest kicker in the history of the sport. But he wasn't last year. It was in his head. He was bad. He was bad from 50 plus.
This keeps him out of the Hall of Fame.
Ooh. You can't. Wait, can you use this? You can't use this, right? Lawrence Taylor said, no, you can't use this. Deshaun can still get in, actually, technically.
I'm talking about Justin Tucker.
I know, but Deshaun can still get in for what happened there, so no. I think it's going to be a tough road for Deshaun.
I mean, you couldn't use character against the greatest defensive player ever. By the way.
We're going to talk about the retired jersey.
By the way, what lack of self-awareness does Abdul Carter have asking Lawrence Taylor if he could play with number 56?
Well, it's to honor Lawrence Taylor, obviously.
No.
I mean, he wore 11 in college. He wasn't number 56. This isn't a college number. He wore it because he knows that that's an all-time great number at New York. It's just you just don't do it.
You just don't do it. You don't even ask. That number, his number's retired because he's the greatest defensive player ever. You know, you're not wearing it. I mean, that's ridiculous. That there's a reason it's retired. Like Shador, nobody should ever wear Shador's number.
Well, numbers sometimes come out of retirement. It happens, not often. And Phil Simms was going to let him wear his number, until Phil Simms' family go, no, you're not. You're not going to let him wear your number.
Yeah.
So he asked twice. He asked two Giants legends, their levels. Phil Simms was on two Super Bowl winning teams. He didn't play in the Super Bowl in one of them. But
oh, did he ask Simms?
Yeah, he asked Simms, and Simms said yes until the family voted and said, no, you can't give him your number.
Chris Simms says no.
I don't know which Simms. Matt. It might have been Matt Simms. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
Remember the long-forgotten Matt Simms who played at Tennessee for a little bit.
Matt Simms. Oh, the my Volunteers, God. The I Titans. Forgot about him.
Yeah, he was the quarterback of Tennessee. Didn't play well for the Volunteers. But the Simms family got together and said, nah. Sorry, we're going to outvote you here, Phil. I know it's your number, but you don't get to make this decision.
You know what? That's an interesting – by the way, just real quick, I'm trying to look this up. So it does say there's not a clause for character, but it can factor in – now, this is AI overview, so you never know. I mean,
I tested that.
Yeah, but it says negative character assessments can impact the player's chances of being inducted, quote-unquote, but – the selection committee also, it says it considers character and potential off-field issues while there's no explicit character clause. You know, I can see him being kept out. Depending on how this whole thing goes with him, I could see him being kept out. Yeah.
Yeah.
Him being Justin Tucker. Obviously.
You know, the holier than thou, oh, no, the writers are going to go, nah, we ain't doing that.
Doesn't he need an advocate? Isn't that how it works? So which,
yeah, he needs
which
an advocate,
Raven
but still
reporter?
Who wants to take that shot?
Yeah, who wants to do that?
Right.
Yeah, you're right. Like, a lot of times you need somebody to stand on a table for you.
You have
to. You really don't need that if you're Justin Tucker until now. Now you do.
Justin Tucker was the best.
Why would John McClain be the one?
Despite the issues, if we keep it to football...
It's the Pro Football
Lawrence
Hall
Taylor's
of Fame.
In. He did cocaine. He did many different drugs. Like, Lawrence wasn't a great guy.
Like, I know what you do, Dan, on your off time. Just starts calling out reporters.
Calling out reporters. You can't be telling me
glass
that
houses
on those,
and
some
stones.
Of those road trips.
Glass houses and stones and whatnot.
John could go to battle.
Right.
Of all the people to say Tucker did something wrong, it ain't you.
Shut it, Shaughnessy.
Shaughnessy. I know Woody Page didn't just say something from the back.
What's it? I don't want to name any guys that are dead. Is Bob Ryan still alive?
Yeah, Bob Ryan is.
Oh,
cut
barely.
It out, Ryan. I know what you did in 1984. I was right there with you.
Cut the crap.
Yeah.
I was there when you went to the World Series. Remember that club you went to? They ended up being a sex club. What? Well, this is an NFL Hall of Fame argument, gentlemen.
So your boy Ron Slavin's in the news.
Shut it, Plachke.
He said
cut the crap.
NFL teams had a third and fourth round grade on Quinn Ewers, mm-hmm. but passed on him because of the attention he'd get as a backup.
What?
They thought he was a third or fourth round pick. But too big of a name to be a clipboard holder, which I think is chicken ship.
Ron was pissed. I talked to him,
yeah.
and he told me a certain team that we know well wanted him, and then a certain quarterback we know well said, nope. And so they went with a different quarterback.
Hmm.
Huh. Wow. Mm-hmm. Well, you think people would be calling for Quinn Ewers?
It doesn't I get that all the Shador talk, it makes total sense. That was a legitimate conversation to have once he fell out of, you know, there was, in the first round, there were people who just didn't know, and they don't understand the process. Then once you get beyond that, you don't understand that if you're now considered a backup, backups need to have certain personalities. You don't know if they, and there's a whole Deion factor that people are discounting, and it's a major factor with teams. However, Quinn Ewers deserves some conversation about this, too. This is a guy who didn't lose a road game in 2 years. He went to the college football playoffs 2 years. Now, I would argue against the tape not looking good enough, and he's constantly injured. Like, he's had durability issues. Now, he plays through it. He's tough. But he doesn't have a lot of juice on the field in terms of personality, the arms average. I can make a point, but I also thought Quinn would probably get drafted in the fourth. He got drafted in the seventh. I thought Shador would get drafted in the second. He got drafted in the fifth. Both of them had a three-round slide. I think it's fair that why aren't more people talking about Quinn Ewers going after two guys who had ACL tears and Curtis Rourke from Indiana and Graham Mertz from right here with the Texans. Both guys coming off ACL tears got drafted higher than Quinn Ewers.
You really want
to... And he's not a bad character. Like, he doesn't have bad character.
You really want to have the conversation about why the Quinn Ewers thing isn't the same?
Why?
What does Quinn Ewers look like?
Well, no, I'm just saying, why is there no talk about it? Was it all absorbed by Shadur and no one had any left for Quinn? Because Quinn was a guy that we were talking... Now, he had no conversation.
And because no one was that impressed by Quinn in college.
Is Quinn going to disrupt a locker room, too?
No, he's not. And he's not going to run as, like, the attention he's going to get as a backup. This isn't Tebow.
He's not, no.
You want to get Ron on tomorrow? Ron's been dying to come on our show. Do you want to get Ron on to talk about this?
Well, if you've got a mediocre quarterback, maybe. Hey, Quinn Ewers is sitting there. It's the same with Shadur. They're going to go, hey, Joe Flacco, why is Shadur sitting there?
Wait.
But if you've got C.J. Stroud, you ain't getting no, we got to have Quinn
Ewers
on
the field. The accusation is that Coleridge put his thumb on the scale and said no to Quinn Ewers?
Who?
Coleridge put his thumb on the scale and said no?
Oh,
that's the accusation?
You threw me off with Coleridge.
That's the joke.
When are you going to stop that nonsense?
That's his name.
That foolishness.
And are we saying Coleridge said no?
The streets are saying. The streets are saying. They spent a year together.
That's true. He just didn't want Quinn Ewers around?
Saying. Maybe. The streets are saying.
But that's when he had a mullet, too.
Yeah, that was a different Quinn. He had no... He all lost right. all of his confidence from then.
Man,
did he look like a confident guy in the postseason?
If Coleridge called up and said, get me Graham Mertz and not Quinn, what are we talking
about?
Yeah,
well, there's no threat with Graham Mertz.
There's no threat with Quinn.
No.
Yours.
Well, you know what? Shaved head Quinn is different than mullet Quinn.
Yeah, mullet Quinn had more potential.
Mullet Quinn was flinging it around like he didn't have a care in the world. Like
shaved head Quinn got to two playoff games.
He was there.
He didn't have his head shaved. He was haircut Quinn.
Well, yeah. Haircut.
What do you mean shaved head? He was just haircut, and it lost all. He lost all of his juice, his swagger.
The juice left.
The swagger was gone.
Got him to the playoffs. What are you talking about?
Well, did he, or was it all those first and second round offensive and defensive linemen?
To be there, but
do you want to go through all the players that he got to?
Fourth
Byron
and
Murphy, Tamondre Sweat,
fourth and 13.
Alfred
fourth
Collins, Baron Sorrell.
All right, we got to talk. What we got is Billy Brown. And you know what? What's a problem is that I don't have Billy Brown here in L.A. So my wife, I don't know, she was watering the concrete, and all of a sudden she pulls on, and the hose comes off, and the water's spraying all over.
Oh,
so she's got to find, finds a plumber here. And I was like, we don't need to. We don't need this. What we need is Billy Brown. Billy, I need you to open up an office here in L.A., okay? Because my wife, we're gonna have plumbing issues. Now, she found I had turned off the water, and now all of the spigots are spitting, you know.
Sounds terrible.
It is. Billy, can you come?
Yeah, but there's too many regulations. He has too much red tape to cut through to get his business started. He's never opening there.
I need him. So, Billy, come stay here and take a look at our plumbing here. So what I need, it sucks to not have a plumber. And you know what, Houston? We can't be luckier than we got Billy Brown. We cannot be luckier. So if you've got a plumbing issue, a matter of fact, a buddy of mine texted me the other day, hey, what's your plumbing company? Don't be that guy. 281-488-6238. 281-488-6238. Have that number in your phone, because when you need a plumber, you need a plumber. And that's Aqueduct Plumbing Company. AqueductPlumbingCompany.com, 281-488-6238.
Time now for News of the Weird.
People are weird.
With John and Lance.
That's real weird.
All right. In North Carolina, a referee was arrested after firing a concealed weapon inside of the basketball gym. Do you guys think that referees should be armed so that we can stop all this nonsense that goes on at games?
Really depends on where they are. Maybe don't be strapped at some little private Christian school. It's got to be adaptable to the environment. That's what I think.
Wait.
It can't be across the board.
No, so only it depends on where you are?
Depends. If there's been evidence of violence in the past where referees get their ass kicked for wrong calls, then strap up. But
if you can walk into
a gym and nothing happens to you, no matter how bad you are, then no, you don't get to carry a gun. Okay, nothing's going to happen to you.
Yeah. Apparently, a boy is suing the school for suspending him. He made a gun out of Dr. Pepper cans. off campus.
And then he brought it to school?
It was just, you know, three cans this way, and it just looks like a rifle. And they suspended him from school.
Did he bring the Dr. Pepper rifle
to
campus?
No, it was off campus.
And they, how can you suspend him for off campus activities?
No idea. And plus, it's a... they're Coke can, they're Dr. Pepper cans.
He didn't 3D print one, so which it could actually fire. So I'm not sure what leg they have to stand on.
Yeah,
soft ass school.
I'm not sure.
You, one of your students is building even a fake gun. You get a little shaky. It's the world we live in.
Do you want to go to Emmanuel College?
Well, I'm not sure. What do they do
there? Their admissions worker was fired. Apparently, he was giving this girl a tour of Emmanuel College and then wanted to have sex with her.
Why would that keep me from wanting to go?
Do you want to work there or do you want...
Look, I wouldn't use my position to try to influence someone to have sex with me, but as a person who wasn't propositioned, it probably wouldn't change my mind if I wanted to go there. But before women who may run into this person, yes, maybe you take a step back.
Should that bonus be added to the tour?
A bonus. What are you talking about?
Okay.
It's wrong.
It is wrong. She's 17. Wait till she gets to college.
No, none of that. Stop it.
Wait.
People can hear you.
Well... It's not like college girls don't do stuff, okay?
Oh, come on, man.
All right. I'm just saying.
If the college girl wants to do something, fine, but you should not be using your position as what was he, a tour guide? What tour guide?
Well, he's in admissions.
Oh, he's in admissions. So he has the ability to decide whether she gets in or not?
Right.
Yeah, he probably shouldn't be using that as a way to secure sex from a potential co-ed.
And finally tonight, a Shedeur Sanders fan is suing the NFL for $100 million over emotional distress caused by the draft. Do you think the NFL should pay $100 million to this fan who was distressed now because Shedeur wasn't drafted until the fifth round?
I think I commend this fan for trying to get this off. Try. No, I don't think the NFL should pay. But if you can squeeze some money out of Raj, go ahead.
He's got $100 million laying around.
I don't think this has a real basis. I don't think this fan's going to win any money or get any money, but you can try it. The NFL got money to burn.
No, really? No, here's why. This is the definition of a frivolous lawsuit.
I don't know how emotionally damaged they were.
A lawyer, okay?
You don't know. You don't know
how. Well, I don't know how emotionally spent you are now.
Thank you. Let them have their day in court.
Listen, if that sets you off and puts you into sorts, you need more help.
Look,
$100 million ain't helping
you. Get yourself an emotional support buffalo or something. I'm not sure what the deal is. Of all people, Shedeur Sanders, the kid who grew up in luxury and wealth, never had a care in the world, played football for his dad his entire life. This is your symbol of whatever? This is the guy you've chosen? A guy who has no cause other than himself? Yeah. What does Shedeur talk about other than him and the Sanders brand? What does he stand for?
Legacy.
Legendary, I believe, is
legendary,
the hashtag.
Not legacy.
But
legendary.
Of all the people, Lance does this thing where those people don't care about you because people love to root for players who have no... Shedeur's the top of the list of people who don't care about you.
He don't care. He's legendary, and that's all there is to it. But I think he should get the 100 mil because Raj got a lot.
Look, Raj probably is overpaid. So if you take it right out of Raj's account, I'm fine.
I'm okay with it. We got to go. Mopey and Mapes next right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. I got to talk about Air Team. I got to talk about the heat. The heat is coming. It's going to be repressive in the city of Houston. I mean, and listen, 90 degrees at night. How are you going to sleep if your air conditioning doesn't work? It was the worst. It was the worst when it went out. And it's on me because I never, ever maintained my air conditioners. That's something you have to do first. But if you need a new air conditioner, Air Team is here for you. I loved the experience that I got with them. They were straightforward all the way. They gave me all the rebates that I could possibly get. They were wonderful to work with. The guys who installed it were excellent. It took they put two in, and it was like, you know, a 4-hour deal. And they were excellent, excellent, excellent. They know what they're doing. I'm telling you, they will make sure that whatever it is that you need air conditioning wise, and they'll be straight with you if they can fix that one or put in a new one. 713-936-5346. I loved my experience with Air Team. I think you'll have the same experience. AirTeamLTD.com. AirTeamLTD.com.
Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait, and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or JeffWeilerColumbusAutoMall.com.